that the dead, that was when Abraham understood that principle, that even though I kill Isaac, he'll rise again. Because the Bible says he considered, you know, if you read that Romans chapter 4, if you read King James, he said he did not consider. Read every other translation. The Bible says he considered his body as good as dead, and that of and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with reference to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. I'm getting an issue here. The moment Isaac was born, it was a sign that God would never fail. Listen, Isaac was a sign that God would never fail. Read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I described it in there. Isaac was a sign. That was why Abraham could kill Isaac. And he didn't have the best. Isaac was a sign. Please bear that in mind. God is with signs. God is with signs. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was for the sake that they saw him. It was for the sake of the disciples. It was for their sake. Jesus could have just woken up and gone back to heaven and said, we don't finish. And nobody knew. But it would not have activated the necessary faith in the hearts of the disciples. They needed to see every drop of blood drained from his body. They needed to see it. They needed to see him rise up again. He said, flesh and bones. When he came back to them, when he was eating with them, it's a spirit, it's not a spirit, it's a ghost. He said, flesh and bones. That's how he described himself. He was careful to avoid the word flesh and the blood. Why? Because the life that was now keeping him alive is not the same old life. Are you getting my point? They saw these things. He had to interact with them. They saw him beaten. They saw everything drained from his body. So by the time he rose up again, Peter said, it was because death could no longer keep him down under his power. That was why when Paul was going to be killed, he was not afraid of that death. He said simply, I am being poured forth as a drink offering. He said, the time for my departure has come. You must understand, Paul didn't just die by accident. He died as an exit from this world. That is, I'm done. I don't know what I get by saying. He wrote to the Philippians. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. King James will say, whether to go or to stay. He said, but if I stay, it will mean more productive labor amongst you guys. So I think I will just stay. Are you getting my point? Yeah. Listen, that's what he was saying, that I wanted to understand the power of his resurrection. You know what that means? That is, I understand that nobody can kill me and keep me dead. There was a time they killed him, literally beat the man, stoned him, and then he died. And then they left. And he got up and followed the disciples back to the city. Why? He said, keeping me dead is not because of stone. You get my point? You can stone me all you want. There's a power of life that is keeping me alive. And he wrote to the Romans, he said, even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit is giving life to your mortal bodies. He knew that Jesus was not walking around because blood was pumping in his blood. Are you getting my point? He was walking around because there was a life, a spirit flowing inside him. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. That is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not just, okay, we don't die, finish now. Any dying remain. No, that kind of thing. No, it is that he rose up from the dead as a sign that everything is now complete. All the sins have been forgiven. Since the wages of sin, all right, is death. That's what sin produces. Now that sin has been wiped away, death also has to be wiped away. As Paul was careful to always use the word that believers sleep in the Lord. Because death can't keep them down. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. It's very important we get this point. That is the meaning of resurrection. Resurrection is not just that hey, we are Christians, we are going to Galilee to go and wait after we have finished Easter. Resurrection is to let you know that there's no prediction that says you will be down that you should believe. I don't know what I heard I said. That all the explanations for why you should be down, don't believe it. is a lie. I don't know what I said. That all the explanations. You know why you're not going to succeed? It is simply because you don't have a good degree from school. You did not finish school. You don't know people. You get my point? These are the explanations for death. And anyone who has contemplated that cross of Christ can't accept that. Because when we focus on the cross of Christ, we understand that that is the body being subject to death because of sin. But I'm operating by the power of a new life. The same life, the same force, that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, tell me all the stories. Tell me how my genes are made up. Tell me how my father did not have the correct gene. Tell me how I was born and there was a mistake and I was injured. Tell me everything. I will consider it, yet with respect to the promise of God, I will refuse to waver in unbelief. Why? I will say to you, listen, these are the reasons why Jesus died. Now, let me show you what happened. He rose again, meaning that all your reasons, they don't work anymore. I don't know what I get. You are getting my point? That that's the progression before now. But that I am a believer in Christ Jesus. Listen, let me say to you again. You see, it's what you focus on that determines how your life turns out. You hear what I said? Yes. It's what you focus on that determines how your life turns out. If you, because you see, this, all this is what I'm saying. He says, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. That is, if they don't look, they will not be delivered. That is why somebody has to be sent to go and tell them, behold. You know what we behold a lot of times as a mistake? We behold the news. We behold the report. We behold the doctor's report. We behold the economist's report. We behold every other kind of report. And anyone we behold ends up coming true. And we will now say, we said so. I always knew it. And the devil says, yes, you said so. In fact, I needed you to say so. If you did not say so, I would not have been able to do anything to you. Thank you for saying so, Mr. Say So. Let's read that scripture. I said we're going to read two. The second scripture, Romans chapter 4. Very important for us to understand this. Remember my emphasis? The death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not just that somebody got up. He wasn't the first to get up from inside the grave. You know that. He wasn't the first. Even he himself. How long was he dead for? 3 days. Lazarus was dead for how long? Four. So it's not how long somebody was dead. Lazarus was dead. He woke up. His blood still had to flow, the normal blood. So he had to die again. I mean, it's true. But the resurrection of Lazarus, what did he tell us? He only told that Jesus is powerful. I don't know where I get my point. So he said, you know, they used to go and gather and look at Lazarus. Where is Lazarus? Is it true that somebody died? After 4 days, he woke up from the dead again. He said, come and see. So anytime Jesus will come, and Lazarus will be there, people were more interested in Lazarus. Yes, they were more interested because the Jesus has been alive for a long time. You get my point? But Lazarus, and a number of people saw when he fell sick. They saw when he died. But when he rose again, they traveled. So when somebody said that the guy actually rose from the dead, they said it's a lie. So when they came back from the journey, they had to go and look. Where is he? Where is Jesus Christ? Let's follow this guy. And Jesus said it. He said it himself, that I'm doing this for you people so that you will believe. So every resurrection is telling the story. Are you getting my point? Every waking up from the dead. When Lazarus rose up from the dead, he was telling the story that Jesus is the Son of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ did not tell a story that he was the Son of God. Why? His disciples already knew, they already knew that one. You know, he did not rise up from the dead for everybody to see. When he woke up from the dead, he showed himself only to his disciples. That means the message was only for them. When Lazarus rose from the dead, everybody was watching. So all of them had the opportunity to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But when Jesus himself rose up from the dead, he didn't show himself to anybody else apart from his disciples. In fact, he did like this. Shh, so the soldiers ran away. He scared away the soldiers who should have been the first witnesses. He drove them away. That he was showing them himself only to those who believed him. What does that tell you? The power of his resurrection is only for those who believe. That he was the Son of God, everybody was supposed to believe and accept. But only those who accepted it had the opportunity to be proven to that he rose up from the dead. Why? Because what he accomplished there only applies to them. It was their sins that were forgiven. It's only those who believe that we partake in the power of his resurrection. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Listen, when Jesus rose from the dead, those who believed, they understood that, my God, something has happened. They understood that listen, if Jesus died and that was the end of it, there was no proof that his sacrifice was accepted. I don't know what I heard I said. Listen, the sacrifice in the Old Testament, there usually was proof that it was accepted. Cain's sacrifice was there. Abel's sacrifice was there. Something must have happened for us to know that God did not accept that of Cain, but he accepted that of Abel. So you see, light and fire will show up from heaven and lick up, you know, burn up the sacrifice. They will know it was accepted. Sometimes they will offer a sacrifice, somebody will die suddenly. They will know God was not happy with the sacrifice. So Jesus died. His blood was shed. He was beaten. There was no proof that it was accepted. The proof that it was accepted was that he rose up from the dead. Are you getting my point? That was the proof. That was the proof. You see, you must understand that when God is doing some things, he knows that not everybody understands. But as you are getting spiritual enlightenment, you start seeing the importance of everything that happened. Because what was the purpose of the sacrifice? The wiping away of sin. What was keeping him dead? The power of sin and the power of what? Death. The only proof that sin has been forgiven, that the power of sin has been wiped away permanently, was that he had to get up from the dead. I'm explaining something here. His resurrection is a sign for you. It's a sign for me. A sign of what? That's what we're discussing. And I think that's why Paul used to emphasize so much on the cross. On the cross. Why? Because only that resurrection, all right, showed that that cross was valid. So once the resurrection took place, we understood, or we understand now, that the cross was accepted before God. Listen, if we were able to understand spiritual operations, what will have happened that for 3 days we'll have been on edge? Are you getting my point? Like, did things work out? Are you getting what I'm saying? We'll have been on edge. Knowing that the whole plan of redemption, did it work out? Did it work out? Then they say, he's risen. He's risen. We'll say, praise God. Now, we are not praising God that, hey, we thought you were dead. Thank God you are not dead. Listen, whether you are dead or not, when we get to heaven, we'll see you. Are you getting my point? So why are we rejoicing that you are awake now? It's not that, now we can see you, because he didn't stay long. Why we rejoice that now he is risen from the dead is that we are saying, good, the sacrifice has been accepted. His resurrection means my sins have been forgiven. His resurrection means all things are now passed away. I hope you are getting my point. Romans chapter 3. I said we should read it, right? 4, sorry. Now, let me start from verse 23. Now, not only for his sake only, talking about the fact that faith was reckoned as righteousness. He said, not only for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He said, he was delivered over because of our transgressions, and he was raised because of what? Our justification. No, for a long time I read that, I didn't know what it meant. He said he was raised because we are no longer sinners. That's what it means. That is, if he was not raised, we would have died in our sins permanently. That is, his resurrection means what? It means my sins have been forgiven. If your sins were not forgiven, then he would have remained dead. Please, I need you to listen to this message until it sinks into your heart. That is why, listen, in this life, never, ever accept a negative report. You can't accept it. You can't. Let nobody use your problems in life to prove that Jesus did not rise up from the dead. Are you getting my point? That is it. I've started 3 businesses, it did not work. What does it mean? I'm under a curse. Unless you have not believed. Unless you have not believed. Listen. Don't even be afraid of Ebola virus. It can't kill you. That's not a joke. That is not a joke. That's not a joke. Listen to me. An accident can't even kill you. Sit in the front in a car that was squashed entirely. You will find yourself outside and wonder, what's wrong with that car? They say, you were inside. I was inside. Are you sure? Somebody say amen. You know what we need in life? Full persuasion. What did I call it?
Full persuasion.
Yes. Oh, full persuasion. You know one of the films I like most, I'm not a movie person, all right? In a whole year, I don't know how many new films I watch, all right? In fact, you show me there's a new film, I don't want to watch. I like the old one, the one I've seen before. I say, hey, show this again. There are a few movies I have in the house. They are almost 30 years old each. Yes. I watched some of them. Okay, no, not 30 years old. Then, no, not that old. Just 25. Yes. Because I saw some of them when I was a youth copper. All right? Or when we were doing house job, youth service. That was when I saw them for the first time. And they were not fresh releases. So they were maybe a few years old then. And that kind of thing where they watch. All right? But of all the films I've watched in this life, one of the ones that impresses me the most is Matrix. Matrix. Not Matrix Reloaded. I don't know what they reloaded in it. What they did was reload the money. You know what the money, when a brand is very popular, they milk it. They reach part 4. You know, like Die Hard part 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance, and Die Hard Again and Die. You know what? I watched the first 2 or so, you know. It's a principle in Hollywood. They want to milk it, all right? Milk the money out, all right? Until that brand has been exhausted. So I don't know about Matrix 2, Matrix. I've not. It's only the first one I saw, Matrix. You know what I like Matrix? I'll tell you. What I like about Matrix is that guy, they said he was the chosen one. Or they said he's the one. Is that the one they called him? Yes. Neo. And what name of the guy that was hunting him around? Morpheus. Yes. Morpheus was trying to explain to the one that he was the one. And the one did not understand that he was the one. And Morpheus kept on. Now, Morpheus had a lot of people who believed in him more than the one, more than Neo. Those guys working with him, they believed in him totally. But they didn't have that resurrection spirit inside them. So he could not train them to the level. It'd just be like a Chinese film. Are you getting my point? He couldn't train them to that particular level. But he took this guy and kept on training him. And kept on working on him through everything. He would give his life for this young man because he said, this guy is the one. And the first time they were fighting, the other guys were watching and said, my God, this guy's, is it neurokinetics? He says, neurokinetics is way too fast. They said, man, this guy is special. They knew something was up. And then he said that, okay, are you saying that when I'm fully developed, I'll be able to dodge bullets? The guy said, no. I am saying that when that time comes, you would not need to dodge bullets. Because they thought, what they understood was that, you know, you have to be able to move very fast to be able to dodge bullets like the agents, you know, used to do and stuff like that. And one day with that, as the guy was being trained, as the pressures of life were coming to him, all right, suddenly there was a time he found himself dodging bullets, did not know, you know, how. And then the time came, they thought they had killed him. He woke up again, and this time around, he did not need to dodge bullets. Are you getting my point? You get my point. There was a power inside him. I'm bringing an issue here. Until he reached that particular point, they could have killed him. Yeah, beforehand. That's why Paul was saying that I may know him. And therefore, by that knowledge of him, experience the power of his resurrection. What I'm saying is, this is not something that an unbeliever will practice. You have to be chosen. You know what I'm saying? You have to be the one. And what is the one? Every believer, or who is the one? Every believer in Christ Jesus. But even though they are chosen, except they get to know it. You know what he said? He said, they know not, neither do they understand. Therefore, they walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are shaken under their feet. He said, but I said, ye are gods. You see, when they don't understand, they will walk and die like mere men. What am I trying to explain? What we are describing, what I am describing concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a prayer you need to pray is like Paul. God, help me to understand. Because once you understand it, I'm telling you, if you forget your phone in Sambisa Forest, phone, you will go and collect it. And you won't be afraid of any shekau. It's risky. It's risky because you think there's a problem. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Listen, that is the meaning of resurrection. Resurrection simply means the sacrifice for sin has been accepted and you have been forgiven. There's one lie, people who preach half gospel. They are not wicked people, they just don't know. They say, even though God forgives you, yet the consequences will live with you is a lie. What did I say?
It's a lie.
I didn't hear you well.
It's a lie.
If God forgives you, the resurrection power overcomes the consequences. When we say things like that, we are saying Jesus didn't rise up from the dead. He died though. That's forgiveness. That's what we are saying. But we say after he died, he just died and he remained dead. If God forgave, whatever that sin sent us into, forgiveness will bring us out of it. I'll make this statement. I won't explain it. But I have to drop this statement. If a man is condemned because he's a murderer, if God forgives his sin of murder, resurrection power will free him from jail. I won't say more than that. I will not explain. In fact, I don't have enough explanation. I'm under an unction tonight. I'm just talking. I will go home and go and say, what did you say? I will ask myself, what were you saying? I don't care. I'll be like the prophets of the Old Testament. They will finish talking, say, what are you talking about? The Holy Spirit say, wait. You will hear the testimonies later when men begin to apply it. You will hear the testimonies when women begin to apply it. Listen to me, all you need to do, I need to say this, to the word of God is what? Amen. Don't look for explanation. Don't let medical science explain away your miracle. I hope you are getting my point. How shall these things be? I don't know. The resurrection power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow me. By the time something comes out of what we are talking about, then they will know. It had to be by the power of God. What is resurrection? That somebody got up who was dead is not the issue. is what that person's resurrection means. Jesus rose from the dead means there is no reason. Listen, you know, we use money because everybody can understand it to explain things. Jesus rose from the dead simply means if you're calling in life, you looking at me this evening, if your calling in life is to be an industrialist and be a financier and be what Robert Kiyosaki calls a capitalist, listen, if that is what will satisfy your vision and make you feel like you have fulfilled what God said you should do, all right? You listening to me tonight, one day we'll be listed as the richest man in the world and it won't be a big deal. It just be a matter of your wife will come and say, "Honey, have you heard what?" And they say, "We are not the richest family on the earth." You say, "What do they know?" You know, you just say it like that and continue your work. Your friends will call you, "Hey, congratulations. You what? You are the richest man in the world now." You say, "Hey, wait. Am I richer now that they put it in the newspapers than I was yesterday before the newspaper found out?" They say, "No, so why are you congratulating me? It's not an achievement. I'm just working." You get what I'm saying? I'm just living. They say, "Who do you know? Who do I need to know on the earth?" David said, "Who do I have in heaven but you? As a result, on this earth, I have desired to know nobody else." You didn't go to school. That is what is called the power of what? Death. I can become anything is the reason why Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't rise from the dead so I can become. He rose from the dead as a sign that I can become. I don't know what I get my point. The resurrection was not, in itself was not producing anything new. It was a sign of everything that has been produced. I just use that money thing to help you. That's why in this life, listen, your life must not make sense. Are you getting my point? Yes. It will be plotting things out for you. You know, at the age of 40, if you do this, if you don't do this, by the age of 50, you can't do that. So, then forget that nonsense. Just forget that nonsense. Forget that nonsense. I have been crucified with Christ. That is, that arrangement has been crucified. Nevertheless, I live. The life I now live, it's not my life. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know what that means? It means the same power that brought him up from the dead without requiring red blood cells. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was not running on blood. Yet he ate fish. That means the new power with which he was walking could still interact with physical things. That's the mistake a lot of Christians make. It's because you are walking by supernatural power. It means that you wake up in the morning, you won't spend money again. Just like this, food will come out of the atmosphere. No, after he rose from the dead, they were still fishing. And he told them, "Come on, let's eat." Some found fish, roasted, and he ate fish. That is the person operating with the power of God. You still go to work normally, but you be afraid. He's not a normal person. I don't know where you get my point. He may eat fish normally. He's not digesting fish and absorbing it with the same power that everybody else is digesting. He's being sustained by the power of resurrection. And Paul said, "This is my aim in life." Listen, let me close with this. Listen, this is the life of a believer. It is not striving after the flesh. Let me explain something. Be careful. If everybody is saying that they are plotting like this so that by the time they reach this age, they can finally achieve this, don't work like that. You're plotting so you can buy a car. You're plotting so you can have children and send them abroad. That's flesh and blood plotting. Yes. You know what Paul said? This is what I'm striving for, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Anything in life that's not improving your knowledge of God is a waste of your time. You say, "What about my work?" In work, you had better be improving in the knowledge of God. Listen, I told you before, God didn't give you a job just so they can have work, you know, so you can eat. No. He gave you a job for a number of reasons. One, so you can exercise yourself in godliness, because godliness is being good. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why you can't afford to go to your office and behave like unbelievers. You know why? Because you went to work to exercise godliness. Oh, God. Let me tell you how believers get things out of their bosses. They will go home and say to God, "You are the just God. I think what Laban is doing is not fair." I don't know whether you're getting my point. You behave like that. Listen, Jacob made Laban rich. Jacob was so diligent that when Laban lost money, he covered the expenses from his own court. Go and read it. It said that when your sheep were torn by beasts, I never reported to you. Laban, all those years, thought that animals, the wild animals, went on strike. Yet, by the time God was through with paying Jacob, the children of Laban said, "Jacob has taken everything that belonged to our father." That's what the children of Laban said when God was through with paying him. You don't go to work to go and earn money primarily. You go there first of all to go and exercise godliness. Somebody said something to us the other day. He said, "Don't strive to make your presence felt." Have you heard him say it again? Assert your presence. He said, "Work in such a manner that your absence will be noticed immediately." That is, work in such a manner that you'll be almost indispensable. If you work in a place and they are happy to see you go, you are not going into prosperity. Let me just warn you. No. Go and get another job and go and work one more year. You have to work in such a manner that when you want to go, you will be negotiating. Must you go now? Why don't you just wait? Give us another 6 months. Okay, do you understand? If that doesn't happen, please don't go. That your going is not going to bless you. What I'm saying is very, very true. Listen, believers, the way we operate is very different. If Jacob wants something from Laban, he discusses with God. He doesn't come harassing Laban. But by the time he's through, he'll be richer than Laban. No matter the wayo Laban played, the power of God working with him made Jacob only grow richer. When Jacob wanted to leave, Laban had to go and tell. Laban went to check with the Babalawos that they knew around there, all the diviners. They said, "That man wants to go. Don't let him go. He's the only reason why you are rich. If you want to be rich in life, first make somebody rich. Then you know you're on your path to greatness. If you are working in a place, they have not prospered because of your presence. You want to start your own company. Not because, but poverty is your friend." Yes. You work in a place, you think, "I can do it. Me too, I can do it. What are they doing there? I can do it now. You don't need to say you can do it. Do it for somebody else first. You know, I'm digressing now, but that's good cover for practice. You know like a cover for practice? Go and help somebody else do something. You don't have to buy land. Are you getting my point? To exercise your skill? The boss has bought the land. You don't have to go and buy machinery. The man has bought the machinery. So, I mean, you should be very happy when they give you the job. He said, "They are paying me little." That is good. Sit down there and make yourself indispensable. Not go there across the line. "What are they doing? I can do it too." Not apply for UN so that you can get money to do what you could not do for somebody else. You can win the cash, but you will lose in life. You want to know what you really can do? Go and do it for somebody first. Go and do it for somebody. Say, "I can make this 1,000 into a million." Go to somebody's office. Turn his 1,000 into a million. Then we win. No. These are spiritual principles. But my emphasis, listen to me, is this. And that's the fact that we operate by a different power for our blessing. So everywhere we go in life, it's not we are looking for money. We are going there to exercise godliness. We are going there to exercise faithfulness. We are going there to show people what God can do through human beings in blessing people. What if I don't make money while I'm there? Did you come there to look for money? You came there to prove that God working within inside you will transform the lives of people around you. Once that is done, you can walk away free. Don't worry, you will be rich. Now listen. You satisfy that wealth is your portion automatically. That's how the life of Christians are. Let me stop there. Because if I continue talking, I'll bring another thing. What have I said so far? Jesus rose from the dead to show to you that you can't die. Say amen now.
Amen.
Your marriage can't die.
Amen.
Your business can't die.
Amen.
Your body won't die.
Amen.
Yes, you say, am I going to live forever? Listen, I told you, Paul left when he said, it is finished. Are you getting my point? Nothing else to do. Then he now exited and said, guys, I see you somewhere else. That was when they now removed his head. You may say, they beheaded him. No. Paul removed his own head and gave to them. Yes, that's what happened. Really. In the realm of the spirit. No, like Jesus Christ. Who are you seeking? They all fell down. Come now. Get up. Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. They fell back. Come now. Why are you falling down? Are you afraid? Come up. Who are you looking for? Jesus Christ. They fell down. When he said, it is me. You know, they just fall down. Peter was bringing out his sword. Yeah, you know, go take out. I don't go agree. He wanted to cut. No, that Peter, bad guy. You know, to cut somebody's head. The man managed to dodge. He removed the guy's ear. He just took the ear, healed it, and said, Peter, put down your sword. Forget. Are you thinking, if deliverance was my problem, I would not have asked the Father, and he would not have sent 12 legions of angels? You think I'm alone because I don't know how to activate angels? I know how to. But it's time to be alone. Let them take me. Guys, let us go. That was the same principle upon which Paul died. Why? Because while they were living, he said that was what he was going for. To attain the power of his resurrection. And I'm saying to you, that must be your goal in life. And it comes from understanding, and it comes from what? Full persuasion. But why I digress into that is that even when you go to work, that's the primary thing. I say all the time, I did not understand God half as much as I began to understand him when he gave me a wife. I'm not joking. I didn't understand disobedience until my wife disobeyed me. I could disobey God. He won't lose anything. Are you getting me? You know the way we treat God. If I do one small thing, it won't affect him. He will forgive. So it's inside your body, you don't know. That's how you do all the rukuruku you do. You love God, but inside, deep inside, you know, say, if I thief money, God no go lose anything. How much money? It's not his money. You know that kind of attitude. So you can disobey him and not feel bad. I didn't understand disobedience until I told my wife, don't do A. And I came back, she did exactly what I said, do not do. Then I now told God, I am sorry for all the ones that I did. I didn't understand love, really, all right, until I had children. So when you now tell me that I give to God what he gives to you, because it's easy for me to understand. You tell me that Kilu has to give to me before I give to him. Waiting. I smoke something. Even if I smoke something, I can't reach that level. What am I saying? Even in my relationships, I'm discovering God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So in everything, we are pursuing the knowledge of God, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. I hope you've gotten my point today. If you are blessed, just bow your head and say, Lord, thank you. Just 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 say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, I can walk with my shoulders high. I am not afraid. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Give me insight that I may attain to full persuasion, that I may experience the power of his resurrection. And listen, as a child of God, anything appears dead in your life, speak to it now. Say, you die, you can't die. I speak life to you because Jesus rose from the dead. Said, my sins are forgiven. So the consequences are gone because Jesus rose from the dead.